Hello, you are officially tuned into Your Shoes Untied on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain on unceded Coast Salish territory. Wait for it. That's right. I am so happy to be here. Finally, thank you to everyone who has consistently supported me along this process. I appreciate you so much. We got Katie chilling up in the booth today. So hi, Katie.
Hey.
So she's going to be co-hosting next week's episode all about Canadian shoegaze. We've been to quite a few shows recently, like last night.
Yeah, we do that very often.
Very. How did you feel about last night's show?
Last night's show at Green Auto was very Cascade. Good. It was Cascade, Often Wrong, Scarlet Fever, and Cherry Pick. The show itself, very enjoyable. The crowd?
Oh, boy.
Crowd needed some pointers on concert etiquette. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. What is it with people who, like, you know, kind of like push each other around, but they don't form like an actual mosh pit?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is there was these like dudes, like, sorry if you're listening, dudes, you're getting singled out, but they were at the front of the crowd and they just like kept fucking pushing into each other. Oops, sorry. Pushing into each other and like not being aware of their surroundings, so just pushing into everyone around them and not forming an actual pit. And it's enjoy yourself. Mosh around, but form a real pit. And remember, like, important rule, if someone's not part of the pit, don't bump into them.
Yeah, like, I don't know, I love to mosh, it's great, but like last night wasn't really the vibe either.
No,
well, I mean, like, the music kind of like aligned with like a mosh pit kind of vibe, but it just was not like, I don't know, there was just something. It was a Wednesday night. Come on, guys.
It's a Wednesday night. Listen, I'm so happy if you're enjoying yourself and you're moving your body and all that. But, like, don't let you enjoying yourself ruin the experience for someone else who's maybe, like, not on your wavelength.
I think also, like, we were talking about this last night. Like, I don't know, Katie and I, we're old ladies. Not really. But I feel like such an old lady going to shows sometimes because kids keep getting younger and younger, especially at, like, all-ages venues like Green Auto.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering if, like, the lack of show etiquette has to do with maybe the age group of people coming in. Maybe they haven't had as much experience. But I don't know. Learn from your quote-unquote elders.
Are we elders now? Jesus.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, so it was a good show, though. I really enjoyed all the bands. I hadn't seen Scarlet Fever live yet, but they were
good. Yeah. We found that a lot of the bands were very, like, Midwest emo-inspired as well.
Real, like, American football-esque riffs.
Yeah. It was fun, though.
It was
really
a good
enjoyable.
Some emo screaming.
Oh.
It's not really a genre I've actually delved into much myself, so maybe I will do an episode about it.
Yeah, maybe this is the prompting
moment.
Maybe
this was the prompt. Well, yeah, so that was it. And then today we're going to be kicking off with our featured artist of the week, Piskus. His name's Josh. He's based in LA, and we had such a good time chatting. He is amazing. We were talking all about sobriety, spirituality, and what it's like to be an artist in LA. And just trigger warning, there's a mention of alcoholism, substance use, and like mental health related topics. But we're going to kick off with his new single that comes out tomorrow. So this is a little preview. Grim Reaper, a solid track. It's really giving Elliot Smith. And then also, after that, we're going to be listening to Chelsea Hotel, which came out somewhat recently, and then followed by the sped-up version of Cosmic Brownies. It kind of, like, went viral on TikTok, and, like, I actually think I found him through that. So, yeah, we're going to head into that. Enjoy.
Woo. We'll be right back.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. I think it's a new update.
That's awesome. I love that. I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah. The last interview I did, it was the same. And I was like, oh, wow, I guess I can do that. But how are you doing?
I'm good. I just took a shower. I shaved. I have 5 boyfriends on Hinge right now.
Very
fun. Yeah. It's all part of the healing process.
The healing process. I love that. So tell me a bit more about you and where you're from and all that jazz.
I could talk forever. So this is awesome.
Yes.
But so I'm from Arizona. I grew up in like a religious household.
Cool.
They kind of left the church after I came out because I'm gay, like spoiler alert, if that comes up anywhere else. But I kind of grew up in the church and I was like sheltered like the first like 18 years of my life. And then I went to college in Chicago for musical theater. I was not good, so I dropped out. And then I was fine. I was just like, I can kind of act straight, but it just wasn't believable. So I could like sing the parts, but they were like, you're just too gay for stuff like this. So I dropped out. I was like, I'm not spending $20,000 a year at school. Like I need 20,000? To leave.
So
yeah, it's crazy. And that was with a scholarship. I had like a 10K scholarship. Like I thought I was like hot. Like, can I curse on here or no?
I'll edit it out. So be careful, but it's okay. I was going to say, okay, so I'm, in Canada, yeah. I pay probably, so I do 3 semesters a year. So that's 9 grand, but 20 grand a year. That's insane.
I need to move to Canada. Y'all know what's going on.
Yeah, honestly, I really would never move to the States because free healthcare.
Especially right now, yeah.
Yeah, no. Nope.
I just got LA care and it's horrible. Like I have a horrible sty in my eye right now.
No.
And I got antibiotics for it, but I had to go through like the pits of hell to like get it and like to get my insurance card, get it all together. And like the urgent care was crazy. And then they said they were gonna have to remove it. But it's fine now. Everything's good. But like the healthcare system here is just so awful.
How expensive would it be to get that removed?
I don't know. Probably like, I'm not covered under that. So it'd probably be like probably $500 to $600 just to like drain it, get it removed. Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, and I was on SSRIs for a long time. And those were, my insurance stopped at 26, like those were like in the hundreds, like to refill it.
Oh.
So I kind of just like, I didn't give up. I'm still on gabapentin, but that's not really SSRI. That's like more for my anxiety.
Yeah.
But it's insane because I mean, people with like mental health issues and I mean, just medical issues in general. Like I know people with, like diabetes who like need their insulin and this and like they can't get it and it's so expensive.
And that's why a lot of people come here actually to get meds, especially for diabetes or like Ozempic or whatever. But that's insane. Yeah. Like
I need to travel. I need to come visit you.
No, for sure. I really take that for granted sometimes. Although it depends on the medication. Sometimes it could be kind of expensive here. That's so funny. Gabapentin, my cat takes gabapentin.
My friend said the same thing. My producer actually, my producer's cat was on gabapentin. So her cat and I were like, we had the same dosage too. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, it's good. I also like, I had seizures. I mean, we're just going to spill it all. I used to have seizures when I was growing up. Like, I got really bad epilepsy. And I took meds. And they did a bunch of scans and stuff. Like, once I hit puberty, like, I didn't really have them anymore. Right. I still get auras here and there, but the gabapentin also really helps with, like, just, like, preventing seizures for me, which has been nice. I forgot where I left off. I think...
We were talking about LA. Or you were talking about, sorry, Chicago, and then how'd you get to LA?
So, I dropped out of school in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then I went back home to Arizona for, like, the summer. And I was just trying to figure out what to do because, like, I wasn't really doing music yet. I was also the whole umbrella of all, like, this come up, too, of, like, finding, like, my artistry and, like, what I wanted to do. Like, the whole umbrella, like, I was really deep into, like, my alcoholism. Like, I was drinking all the time. At college, I was drinking, like, a bottle of wine going to class, drinking in class. And, like, everyone around me was, too, so it felt normalized. Like, I feel like a lot of people who do theater are just alcoholics.
Wow.
So... It's just, it was very, like, from 18 on, like, I was drinking, like, every day.
Yeah.
I'm 4 years sober. And
I'm so happy to hear that.
Thank you. It's been a journey. But it was very, once I got sober, like, everything artist-wise, like, I knew what to do. I was like, okay, I want to do this.
Totally.
I want to do this on a sound like this.
Yeah.
And so, because I did, once I dropped out and then I got a job at Universal Studios being a scare actor.
Oh, cool. For
their Halloween Horror. I don't know if you know what Halloween Horror Nights is.
I've been to
You've
once.
Been?
The one time I've been to LA, we went to Disneyland. And we also
Wait,
went.
What year?
Oh, I was like 15, so I don't know. I was
okay.
Like, yeah, long time ago. Like,
okay, I did it 2017, 2018, and I was Freddy Krueger my first year, and that's what brought me to LA. So I was like, I got that job. I lived in like some crazy guy's like house in Van Nuys like for a couple months, and then I moved in with this guy I was in love with. That's a whole other story.
Oh.
But so I moved out here. I did scare acting. I also worked at like Starbucks, and I did like Christmas caroling gigs here and there.
Oh, fun.
Just when I first moved out here. And then from then on, I worked at Universal Studios. I was Poe the Panda, like from Kung Fu Panda. They put me in that suit, and I was like full twink too. Like I was like 40 pounds thinner and like a skeleton. And so they were like, they put me in this like 80 pound suit. That was like my first like jobs out here. Also deep into alcoholism, drinking all the time. Also during Horror Nights too, we would all drink. Like everyone just in that, anyone in like theater, it just like, it felt very normalized. And
not ever,
and like I use alcoholics loosely, but it's like a lot of the people in my life were alcoholics at the time and like didn't know. Like you don't really know until it's like that bad. Like
honestly,
it gets to the point where and so I did that, and then I worked like barista jobs and like restaurant jobs, and I started another project with my producer now, Angelica Cox. I love her. We were in a band called Crying Cosmos because we met through Horror Nights too. So she was my like security. When I was Freddy Krueger, she was my security guard.
Oh, cute.
And like she was there. And so like we connected through that. And like her dad's like a dance producer from like the 2000s, like a big one. And so she was like learning how to produce. And we started a band. We did like all like the normal like LA spots, like Silver Lake Lounge. We did some downtown shows like together as a band. And then we kind of like went our separate ways for a little bit while I was still drinking.
Yeah.
And she worked on her own stuff. I started a new project where I thought I could do like EDM. And like, I love the producers I did it with. They did my song White Lighter. For Piss Kiss. So they're amazing. I love them. Marcella and Cam. Marcella does playback for like all these big artists now, which is really cool. Proud of her. But I was doing like EDM stuff, and like that was just like not. It was like EDM mixed with Lana. I was like trying to do something.
And EDM like dubstep EDM or EDM like drum and bass like garage
like Clarity Zen.
Oh yeah, like
I was trying house. To put it, but that, but mixed with like Lana Del Rey. Like it was very strange. And I had pink hair and pink eyebrows. Like I was on a journey. I was drinking and I was drunk all the time. I was wearing like I went through this whole interesting phase, and that music kind of flopped. So I was just like, whatever. I was always drunk.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care. And I wasn't really working on myself. I wasn't taking care of myself.
Yeah.
I was a pretty bad friend to people during that time. And I mean, things kept going and going. COVID happened.
Oh yeah.
That's when I really started like trying to make good music. And I was like, I locked myself like in my apartment as we all were. And like, I made like, I think my song Dirty Chucks and White Lighter, I kind of wrote on my own, like during that time.
Yeah.
And, like, but they were like completely different than what they were now. So I was like learning how to make good music or like things I was proud of, during that time. But I was also still like drinking every day, drinking myself to sleep, like drinking, like it was just awful, drinking all the time.
Oh,
and,
your poor liver.
it hurts so bad. And so at the end of like where COVID, where things are starting to open again, I lived with some people, and we got in a really scary situation, and we had to like emergency move out. And so I was homeless for like a week or two here in LA. Like I was like sleeping on friends' couches or like in my car, and I was working at Hamburger Mary's, this like drag bar. And I was still drinking. So I'm like, I was drinking mimosas at work, drunk at work. And then I would like go sleep in my car, go sleep in my friend's couch. Like it was really rough. I was trying to get an apartment. No one would take me because I had like, I didn't work all through COVID because I had a job and I lost it. So like I had like the pandemic pay, which was amazing.
Oh,
but
what was that like? In Canada, we had, it was called CERB, and we got like $2,000 a month, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting, because it was like my paycheck plus $600 every week or every 2 weeks or something. So I was making like bands. Like, it was like the most money I've ever made in my life. And I wasted it all on, I was buying like Clico and like $100 bottles of vodka. Like, I was like, I wasted all that money on like alcohol. which sucks. And I didn't have a job for that whole time because I was just like, I mean, as most people didn't.
Yeah.
And so I felt bad for people still to work. And then so I didn't have any credibility for like apartments or anything because I'd only worked at Hamburger Mary's for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I ended up just giving up. And like, this is where like I didn't think I was going to come back to LA. I went back home to Arizona. I developed a really I started having really bad withdrawals. With time and like my parents have done a full 180 on that, and I'm awesome. Really like I'm privileged in that. Like I know a lot of people, like gay people, anyone in the community, the LGBTQ plus community, like they don't get that storyline. So like I'm very privileged enough that my parents like came through. They weren't at first. Like my mom and dad, like it was never like they hated me, but they just did not like it.
Right.
And it all worked itself out, and I'm very grateful for the relationships I have with them right now, which also played in with like alcoholism. Like I mean, like when I was drinking all the time, like I was just like not myself, and like I was just not a good person.
I really feel that, yeah, with alcohol myself. Like I'm 2 months sober. I've never been someone.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. God. It's actually the hard for me because like ultimately, like I can be in environments where people are drinking, and I have no problem not drinking. I was never. An alcoholic, but the thing is I have impulse control issues, so it's like I couldn't just have one drink, it always had to be one more. Same with drugs. Always had to be, you know, more. It had to be,
I had to like, you had to get to the point of like I need to feel something at least. Like I can't just enjoy a drink. I'm so proud of you.
But yeah, I wanted to say, yeah, honestly, it's for you, like 4 years is a long time. Like
it's very long
being someone who's creative and being someone who lives in LA. I feel like that's especially kind of a hard place because I think of LA as some place that is very like nightlife focused.
It is. And I mean when I go to industry events that I've been like I privileged to go to, like I don't even know how I get into them. Like people just like, oh, like come to this party, come to this, and then it's like all drugs, all alcohol, like sex work, all the, like it's bad. Like it's like the movies, unfortunately. But it's like to navigate those situations, I'm glad I'm sober in those. So like the connections I need to make, I can make. If I need to take care of somebody in those situations, like I'm there to take care of someone. It is hard to navigate. And like even dating life out here too. I mean, I was in a really bad, like, I want to say relationship, but it was more of a situationship for like a year last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, he also struggled with like sobriety and like drugs and, or just like smoking all the time. And it's hard to date as a sober person because they hold you at the standard. It's like, oh, well, they're better than me. Cause sorry, I swear. But it's like, I'm trying so hard to like, be the best version of myself in sobriety. Cause it's all I have. I don't have anything to numb. I'll smoke a cigarette here and there, but it's like, I'm always focused on that. And so dating is always in balance, especially if they are still using or they're not sober or they're like, if they're an alcoholic and not getting better, it's hard to do. After back to Arizona, I got my parents helped me everything. It took like 2-3 months and then I moved back out here. I DoorDashed every day for like 2 months, like out in Arizona, and I made enough money so I could like get a place out here again.
That's great.
And so I did that. And then I've been here at this spot in Hollywood. I've lived in my Hollywood apartment for almost 4 years now.
Wow.
But I lived in LA like 4 or 5 years prior because I was here from 2017 to now.
Oh, so
it's been a long time, but I had that 3 month break where I went home and, and now I'm here. I've met like a really good, like I started Piss Kiss and everything. My best friend Layla helped me make that name. It's a play on Pisces because I'm a Pisces. So it is poetic. It's not disgusting. Yes. It's very like in Latin, it's Piscis. It's like that's how you say Pisces, but it's spelled like P-I-C or P-I-S-C-U-S, but it sounds like piss and kiss.
Piss and kiss.
So I was like, I wanted like the dirtier sounds. Like I know like I wanted like the shoegazy, grungier stuff, but I also wanted to be able to make like more romantic, like Laurel Canyon sounds as well.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have both of those like kind of mesh together. And I feel like that's like what this whole project's about and like my just this in general. But yeah, from then on, I've met my best friends ever. Most of my circle is sober, and not by just, I didn't look for that. It just kind of came.
It comes to you.
So So it's been wonderful. And ever since I've just been making art and trying to get better, trying to improve myself, improve my health, and be there for my friends who deserve it.
That's awesome. I was going to ask, how do you feel like, because obviously, okay, how I came across your Instagram, and you're going to laugh about this. So I remember I saw one of your posts, and I think you like had like, it was a cow's heart or something like that, that you were like using like to hex someone or something.
Oh
like,
my. I thought
you had, like threefold rule, and you were like, not everyone's Wiccan.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. Because yeah, I identify kind of like closer to like the Wiccan spectrum of things.
Okay.
I fully believe in
that's so sassy. I'm so sorry. I don't know.
No, I was just like, that. No, I was like, I really, no, I love the attitude. Because like, okay, what do you feel like you align with most spiritually? Like, how would you describe your spirituality?
Like paganism or like yeah. Wiccan or, I don't know. Because I work, I was texting you earlier. I work at a metaphysical store out
here
in LA. And it's like, it's the biggest one. It's like, it's been here since like
what's
the
70s
or 80s. It's called Psychic Eye. Bookstore. There's they have locations in like Vegas too, but okay. they were like every like big spirituality store out here is stemmed from Psychic Eye. Like